Well, this is a pretty profound verse and startling verse, really. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child would never enter it. So does that mean we should all skip around and sing Ring a Ring of Roses all the time? That we should just all be playing rock, paper, scissors? No, not at all. Entering the kingdom of God like a little child does not mean we ought to become childish or naive. But it doesn't mean we can't have fun, because we can. But it's clearly saying for us to be childlike. And in our passage today, we're thinking about, again, the upside down nature of the kingdom of God. How it's turned on its head to what we would normally expect. Many people in our world would expect that we would enter the kingdom of God through knowledge, through being smart, through having it all worked out, through our own strength in a way and who we could become. But that's not what Jesus says. He says we enter the kingdom of God with a faith that's like the faith of a child. Very different. The Apostle Paul put it slightly different in 1 Corinthians, where people were in Corinth building up themselves with the wisdom that they were using, with wise and eloquent words. They were showing how superior they were through great speech and how spiritual they were through that too. And Paul says it's not through wise and eloquent words that you receive these gifts from God. It's not. Paul preached with the foolishness of the cross. And it's through the foolishness of the cross that we're saved, and not through being smart. So it's not our smarts that will save you, save us, but rather being like a child. This would have varying impact in different parts of the world, but for many parts of the world, children are looked down upon. They have to be seen and not heard. For certain parts of the world, children were quite low in status. They had no power. And because they have no power, they're very vulnerable to abuse. They're vulnerable to being taken advantage of. They have no power. This is one of the things that Jesus was confronting in that first Luke reading that we had, where we read that Jesus took a child, because the disciples were asking, who's the greatest? Who's got the power? And so Jesus took one that had no power, a little child. It said, whoever welcomes this little child, whoever welcomes this one without power, welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Now that turns things on its head. Because friends, this sort of lifting up of those who are vulnerable is not self-evident. If you were to go right across the world, there'll be plenty of places that don't hold it valuable to look after children. In some parts, children are exploited. Some parts, their children are maimed so that they can beg better. Some parts, their children are sold in to prostitution or slavery. Children having value is not self-evident. And I tell you as well, value does not come through what's taught in the science classroom either. If you were to just take pure theistic, pure evolution, well, its framework is survival of the fittest. And are the children the fittest? No. They're not. Jesus is turning things upside down here, saying this little child has value. And when you treat this child well, he says, you treat me well. And when you treat me well, you treat my Father well. I have no doubt that you all would like Jesus to be welcome in your life. Is that correct? I doubt you'd be here if you wouldn't want that. And this verse tells us clearly that if we want Jesus welcomed in us, the way we go about it is welcoming the least. Now, that's not just children. I can't help but think some of the most least in our sphere at the moment, though they're beyond our personal reach, are those refugees on Manus Island. I know that different people have different opinions about whether people should be able to come to Australia or not, but at the moment, they are the least. They have no power. They have nothing. I wonder if we can renew our welcome of Jesus this Christmas as we support Tear Australia, which is trying to help those in need. We are welcoming Jesus into our life and again into the life of our church. To the least. And if you want to be great in the kingdom, help those who are least. I'm going to move next to the passage from Luke 18, where people were bringing babies to Jesus. And I've got three things that I want to pull out of this that again show how we receive the kingdom of God like a child. Not childish, but like a child. So first things first, I'm going to have to cast your mind back or forward to Christmas. When I go to the Christmas tree and I pull a big present out for my son Josiah, and I bring it over to him, and it's something he really, really wants. It's a brand new, big, awesome basketball. And so he unwraps it with eagerness. And then when he opens it, he's like, oh no, Dad, how am I going to pay you back for this? I'm going to have to mow the lawns every week for a year. I'm going to have to do the dishes every night, and I'll have to massage you every night of the week for the whole year. Is that the sort of response he would have? No! He would go, yes! Is there anything else? Wouldn't he? This is one of the things that we need to be doing, which is childlike. Receiving the gift that God our Father is giving. The primary gift is from the cross, where we have forgiveness over and over and over again. But there's so much more blessing and life that he wants to pour into our life. And we can never pay him back. Ever. We cannot pay him back. If you think you can, you're missing a key thing in the Christian faith. It is a gift. And he's done the work for you. That being said, you can be mighty thankful. And out of love, do good things for others because you have been so wowed by God. But there's a huge difference from paying back to loving. I hope we all know that difference. That's the first thing as children. Receive the gift. The other thing that children do is that they are often wowed. They are often wowed. When I came into the church on Friday, or Saturday morning actually, and I saw all those baubles hanging down, I got a bit giddy. I'm like, oh, isn't that amazing? And Ben, because no one was there, I'm like, I'm going to go and bang a few. And that's the sort of things kids would do. They'd see the thing and they'd enter into it. But I only saw one person touch the baubles this morning. Children are prepared to enter into the wonder, to see it first and then to go, wow. Like sometimes they come back with a flower. Have you seen this? Last night, as I had been reflecting on this very thing, I actually went right up to my Christmas tree that Cindy had just put together. And I stopped and looked at, it's so intricate, all the different things on the different ornaments. That's amazing. I was starting to get wowed by the Christmas tree, and then it dawned on me that at church we've got things here that are so much more amazing than Christmas trees and the decorations there. And I was thinking about the blades of grass just outside. Have you ever been wowed by a blade of grass? Well, I hope so. It's there right before you for you to see how amazing. This little thing grows, it comes from a seed. I'm not that biologically minded, but nonetheless, I know that within one of these blades of grass, within the cells, they're able to somehow suck in the carbon dioxide that we breathe out, and they're able to convert it and pump out oxygen. What's that process called?
Photosynthesis.
Respiration. I was going to say photosynthesis. Just amazing. And there it is, just there. We walk straight past. And there are so many things in our world that we can be wowed at, that we see that they're not just there, but they're gifts from God. Again, it makes a whole lot of difference. If you're walking down the street going, gift, there's a gift, there's a gift, there's a gift. Isn't this amazing? Your whole attitude would change. Every breath you take, another gift. We can't live like that, but having a mind that's been prepared to be wowed by the trivial. The trivial doesn't mean unimportant and not grand. And the last thing about children that I want to say is that they are happy to be dependent. None of my children have yet said, you know, Dad, I really wish you wouldn't pay for McDonald's.
They never will.
They never will. Isn't that true? Children are very happy to sit under the shelter and protection and blessing of the parents. That's something that we, again, should be so happy to do. Not fighting for our own independence and that I can build my own kingdom and do it my way, so to speak, but rather letting the blessing of the house of our Heavenly Father provide for us, give us the greatest treasures, instruct us on what is good and right, and to provide a family of others. Children are happy. And I say that knowing that not all families are happy, but what I do know from personal experience, you see, when I was younger, and I can only speak from the kids who came through our house, we had maybe 6 different lots of foster children when I was little, and then me and Cindy had another 3 when we just got married. And we provided food, safety, care, shelter, a wonderful place. We loved some of these kids, but we couldn't give them what they really needed. There's this shape in all of us, really, for our parents, our biological parents. And children are most happy when they're dependent under those circumstances. And I pray that we, as God's children, will be most happy too under his blessing and protection. There's just one more idea that I want to leave with you as I finish. And it's sort of on a different tangent, but nonetheless, it sort of lifts our view of children. Because at different times, people have sort of tended to minimise the amount of faith that children can have. Doubt whether they can really make a proper decision for Christ, or some people have been a bit dubious on that. A guy called D.L. Moody, anyone ever heard of him? I hope so. He said this, and he used to preach all over the place and was a big advocate and teacher of children, but he said, "It's a masterpiece of the devil to make us believe that children cannot understand religion. Would Christ have made a child the standard of faith if he had known that it was not capable of understanding his words?" Interesting. So, Sandy, when you take our kids out to Sunday school, you are teaching them big things which they are hanging on to. But they might not understand everything. If I were to ask, I would pick on Josiah again, my child. "So how does a light work?" Remember those old bulb ones, which now we don't have, we've got fluorescent now, the old light bulbs? "How does that work?" Just imagine that he says, "Well, you go over to the wall and you turn the switch and the light comes on." Does the light shine on him by doing that? Yes, it does. But if you were to ask someone who was more sophisticated, say me, I would say, "Well, the light comes from, yeah, the switch, but then it goes from the switch to that circuit board over there, and then it goes from that circuit board to the other one out here, and then it goes to the power lines, and then it goes to the substation somewhere, and then it'll go to some generator somewhere, whether off a solar battery, if it's Elon Musk building it, or the hydro station, or from the Latrobe Valley. Somehow." Well, that's what I would say. But then you would have someone who's really in the field of electronics or electric conduction, that they will tell you even more detail about how it happens. But each of us, if we each stood in the room, would have the same power to switch the light on and off, wouldn't we? We might understand more. And what I want to say is children, or people who just hear about a little bit about Jesus but come to understand, "Oh, wow, he is the saviour of the world. And he is the saviour of me." They can switch that light, so to speak, and they can be under the saving power of the gospel. And then it is the job of the church to teach, to fill out in more detail who Jesus Christ is. And this is sort of what happened. Remember that story in Acts when there was that Ethiopian eunuch reading the scroll from Isaiah, and Philip came alongside and said, "Do you understand it?" He didn't. So Philip said, "Well, this is talking about Jesus," and he just talks for a little bit how the Messiah would suffer and die, and the eunuch's like, "Right, well, I believe. I want to be saved." And he got saved then and there. The light was turned on, but a whole lot more still needed to be filled out. But the light was shining. So I pray that we continue to lift up children as valuable, because they are. Everyone is valuable. Everyone who is vulnerable needs to be lifted up and cared for. I pray that we too will come to God as children, that we will also continue to see as of utmost value to teach faith to children and to continue to pray for them. Let's pray. Well, our Heavenly Father, we do rejoice that we collectively are your family, that we have received our family inheritance in what God, you have done through Jesus. We pray that in this upside downness of lifting up the least, that you will give us strength and a capacity to help others and to lean on you wholeheartedly, not to rely on our own strength or wisdom. Praise and honour belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.